Many years ago, some French fur traders settled in this part of Wisconsin. And who knows, this piece of real estate that we now refer to as our campus may have served as their campsite for a certain period of time. This much we do know, that they found something here that was so beneficial and pleasing and delightful that they thought that the word for it would serve well as a name for the place. And so they called it Eau Claire, which means clear water. And the word, the name, remains to this day. But there is another type of eau which can be found in a location such as this, as well as in other places where Christ and His Word and His people are present, and that is, in French, eau vivante, living water. I'm speaking, of course, in spiritual terms, as did Jesus one day when He conversed with a woman from Samaria at Jacob's well. He said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." The woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And with these words, we're presented with God's gift of living water, eau vivante. But just what is this living water of which Jesus speaks? Well, it is not something of a physical makeup. It's not simple H2O, nor is it something which has its origin on earth. This living water, this eau vivante, is something spiritual, and perhaps it's safest not to pinpoint too narrowly exactly what it was that Jesus was referring to as living water. Suffice it to say that He's referencing here the package of Christ and salvation, which includes faith and the Holy Spirit and justification and peace. All these things, and probably more, can be included in this term living water, and its location is as unique as its composition. This eau vivante, this living water, is not found on the banks of a river. It's not found in the well which Jacob built, although the woman initially thought that might be the case. No, the living water of which Christ spoke is to dwell in people. He uses the preposition in. Living water is found in certain individuals. But which? Well, none by nature. When considering man's natural spiritual condition, living water is not to be found anywhere or in anyone. There is no eau vivante in man's natural spiritual state. Pas d'eau, no water, as we see in the case of the Samaritan woman at first with whom Jesus conversed. She was spiritually parched, dry, dead to a proper understanding of God's word and will. She was suffering from complete dearth of this spiritual water, a dryness which is evident in all people by nature. While the manifestations of the spiritual dryness differ from person to person and place to place, the same spiritual death is something which must be remedied in all of us if we are to experience eternal life. We too, by nature, are spiritually dry and in need of Christ's living water in order to live. So how does one get it? Jesus explained. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." The living water of the Lord is a gift of God's grace. Wherever it exists, this eau vivante is something which God has graciously implanted. It is something which the Holy Spirit makes real in us through the hearing of His word. And oh, what a gift it is. Jesus explained, whoever drinks of this water, physical water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. When the living water of the Lord fills a heart and soul, a wonderful quenching takes place. For Christ is all that is needed by the human spirit. Jesus told Martha, one thing is needful. The full and fabulous package of God's grace, the gifts in Christ, is all that is needed to bring spiritual satisfaction to spiritual thirst. A satisfaction which was felt by the Samaritan woman and by the townspeople to whom she witnessed. When they were brought to believe in Jesus, they urged him to stay with them. When Christ brought them true spiritual satisfaction, he became the focal point of their desire. In addition to the fact, then, that this living water of the Lord, this eau vivante, provides satisfaction for spiritual thirst here and now, it also provides satisfaction for the eternal pleasures in the world to come. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Something as great as God's gift here has benefits which extend far beyond the limitations of earthly life. The presence of living water in the heart here will result in the presence of body and soul in the paradise to come. Involvement with the living water now will result in involvement with the waters in the kingdom soon to be revealed. We read in Revelation that he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. Living water, so much better even than clear water, Eau Claire. You can't live with it, you can't live without it, and with it a person lives in eternity. The reservoir of this water, another French word there, Jesus himself, the one who is not only ready to share it, but eager to do so. So tap into his word for the water that God gives, the water that lives. Which is spoken of also in our hymn for this morning, hymn number 9, verses 1 and 4. Hymn 9, 1 and 4. And